You're listening to Spartan Up Podcast. We're going to interview somebody every week from all over the world and see what they did in their life to become successful, no matter how they defined it.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Tweet. Welcome back to Tweeting Twitterville of Pittsfield, Vermont. And Marion doesn't like that opening. You want to start again, Marion? Today we're in Twitsfield, and I have Colonel Nye, Joe DeSena, myself, Sephra, and Johnny Waite here with Miss Marion, of course. And today we are interviewing the CEO of Twitter, who was almost killed on the race course, right? So yeah. That's interesting.
First interview I've seen where I thought the guy might not make it to the end.
Right? Yeah.
We are here behind the scenes for Spartan Up the Podcast with Dick Costolo, CEO of Twitter, from Detroit originally.
Born and raised in Detroit.
Did you come from like a real wealthy background? Or he's sick, by the way. So if you hear him coughing, the guy's a trooper. He just ran the Spartan course sick. You weren't wealthy?
No, I was not. We were not wealthy. No, but I mean we weren't super poor. My dad was in the automobile industry, and we were middle class Detroit automobile industry family. So neither wealthy nor poor. I mean, we always had everything. You know, I thought we had everything we wanted, right? We went to St. Petersburg, drove to St. Petersburg for 2 days to visit our grandparents once a year, and
right. had everything you needed.
Had everything I needed.
Went to school. And what do you think that, being from Detroit, where it's probably a little rougher, I don't know exactly where in Detroit you were, but you think that kind of upbringing is what gets somebody on a trajectory that ends up as a CEO of a major corporation?
No, I don't think it was necessarily that. I mean, we were in a decent suburb, you know.
Right. You're allowed to cough.
I know. cough up a lung. I think it was, you know, I mean, I was always the last kid picked for the baseball team, you know, and right. When we were picking sides in third, fourth, fifth grade, I was the shortest kid on the basketball team. I think it's more...
You kept fighting.
You just build up resilience, you know, and you just, like, grind through stuff and fight through stuff. And 90% of all the success that I've had has just been resilience to... failing and okay, gotta go try that again. Bang my head against the wall again.
So you weren't Harvard Business School?
Wasn't Harvard Business School.
So you're saying you weren't rich, you didn't go to Harvard Business School, and you end up CEO of Twitter.
So funny story, I went to University of Michigan.
It's all right. You don't even know what we just went through.
It was the only school I applied to was Michigan. And I studied computer science there. And my senior year, I decided I'm going to start doing stand-up comedy at the student union because it'll be fun. Like, I'm a funny guy. I'll start doing that. I did that, and it was fun. And then my second semester of my senior year, I had to have an arts credit to graduate because I was in the computer science department. I needed a certain number of arts credits to get my degree. And so I decided, well, I'm going to take a theater class because I won't have any homework. It'll be easy. I can spend all my time on computer stuff.
Right.
And I took it, and I had so much fun doing it that when I graduated, I told my parents, "I'm not gonna take one of my programming jobs.
You're gonna stick with
theater.
I'm gonna
go to Chicago and try to get into Second City and get on a Saturday Night Live." So I did that.
What year was that?
85. So I went to Chicago.
And Saturday Night Live was pretty hot.
Oh, yeah, it was the heyday.
That was the show. Yeah.
So I went to Chicago, I performed at Second City and a bunch of the improvisation places around town in Chicago with. Steve Carell was in my group, and Rachel Dratch, and
how were you doing? Were people laughing?
They were laughing at the time. I don't know if they'd laugh now, but you know. And I eventually had auditions for those things, and those guys got them, and I didn't. So right. I decided, all right, I got to go back and put my degree to use. So, you know, if you would have looked at the graduating class at Michigan and decided which of these people is going to be the CEO of a technology company, it wasn't going to be me. But you know, again, like. You go on stage, you're doing an improv show at 10 p.m. at night, and people are booing.
Right.
And like, you suck, get off, you know? And you're like, we're going to be out here for an hour.
Right.
They're already mad, you know? Like, it just teaches you resilience and, like, mental toughness and, like, all right, well, this guy's going to yell at me for an hour.
I mean, that's a famous saying. I don't know if Churchill said it, I believe, right? It's not smart, it's not strength, it's not this, it's persistence.
Yeah. I totally believe that.
Just bang your head against the wall.
Resilience gets you through 95% of the problems you need to get through.
So what, I mean, there's 4 million people hopefully watching this, and there's a lot of them that just can't get off the couch, right? They can't get motivated. They don't have it. How the hell do we teach it? You know what I mean? There's so many. Just to give you an idea, let's say we just had 5,000 signups yesterday for races, right? 45,000 were in the registration funnel and didn't sign up.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
Like, how do you?
Yeah, they bail. I'll tell you. I literally woke up this morning and thought, like, I can't do this. Like, I'm not doing it for effect.
I'm not joking. He was sick the whole time, and he kept going. He asked me to throw the spear at him.
Throw the spokes from one of my lungs.
Please, he said.
Drain the fluids out of my lungs.
I said, I can't kill a CEO of a public company.
I just decided, like, I'll put my stuff on, I'll get in the car and see if I feel better. I think 95% of it is just take the next step. The thing I convinced myself to do was, you know what, I'll put my clothes on, I'll get in the car and I'll ride out there with those guys, I'll just see how I feel.
Right.
Then we got here and I said, you know what, I'll walk up there.
See how I feel. You were still hesitant when I saw you, right. I saw that.
If you take the next step, you know, if you always take the next step.
Yeah.
And you're not thinking like, oh, I got to get up, go over there, I'm going to be cold. You just take the next step and keep going.
Admiral McRaven just did this speech for University of Texas. He said, you want to change the world, start by making your bed. Right? Make your bed and that leads you to this.
Totally believe that.
Right.
That's how I ended up doing it today. If I'd gotten up this morning and thought like, oh, I got to jump into this, like ice mud to climb the rope at the end of this. Just take the next step. Just get it done. Take the next step. We were on that barbed wire crawl at the end, which is just as bad as advertised.
Was that worse than being on stage and getting booed at?
That's a little bit worse. It's just as bad as advertised. And, as you're getting through it and you're at the last, like, 10, 20 yards of it, you're just thinking, I just got to keep grinding, you know? Just take the next step.
Just so you know, what I was thinking, I knew we had two different thoughts. What I was thinking was, I design these courses usually so that you think you're done and there's another mile of barbed wire. You were thinking, oh, we're almost done. I said, I can't tell them. This could go on for a while. Let's take a break and we'll come right back.
I hope you're not sitting still while you listen. If you are, you better get a burpee break in.
All right, we're back. So I fight with my wife all the time. I say, we don't fight a lot.
It's a good way to start.
No, 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 no. We get along great. But we fight over this issue. I say there's nothing harder than building a business, not even giving birth. She argues with me. I don't really know because I never...
Now I see why you fight with your wife all the time.
So the question is running a business hard?
Yeah. It's incredibly hard. It's hard every step of the way. I remember when I first became CEO of Twitter at the end of 2010, someone wanted to meet with me in December. I said, listen, I'm really busy right now. Let me get to you in March when I'll have the team I need around me and then I'll have time to meet with you. And I got to March, you're just busier, you know? Right. And then the next March you're scaling the business and you're even busier.
Sure.
And it's just the next thing is always something you haven't done before. And even if somebody else you know has done it before and they're mentoring you, they haven't done it. It's not the same thing. It's not the same economic environment. And so you're doing all this stuff for the first time and learning all along the way and making 50,000 mistakes.
Everything that can go wrong does go, I found.
Yeah.
Right? Even when things are going well, it's...
Of course.
Right.
And, you know, and then there are, you know, the more people you have, the more people issues you have, and there's something's constantly on fire. And I tell people it's like, it's probably like forestry management. You have to look at the landscape and go, okay, that's on fire, but it's not near a town, so I can let that burn for a while. That one's about to jump the highway. I got to go pay attention to that one.
That's a really good analogy, because that's right. I mean, that's it.
You can't do all of them.
Right. You've got limited resources, what can I handle today?
Right. Yeah.
And it's hard to delegate that kind of understanding of what the priorities are.
Yeah, you can't delegate the objective or the priorities. You can delegate how they're going to get done,
right?
But you got to set those and say, "Hey, we got to take care of the one that's about to jump the highway before we go
to that
get the little one over here."
Today, out on the course, parallels to running the business.
Yeah, the coolest thing that I saw in parallels to running the business out on the course were the obstacles where you really needed to work with somebody to get over it.
Yeah.
And if you did, you'd get over it faster. You know, you could kind of grind through it yourself and probably make it. But if you worked as a team, you'd get through it faster. Those things are awesome team building exercises
for
people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a physical manifestation of why teamwork, like allows you to be more successful than like the guy there doing it himself.
Yeah, I think teams that work together, or even families. Like one woman ran by me and said, "You got my marriage back on track." And so it's exactly what you're saying,
there
right?
There were a lot of people saying a lot of crazy stuff as they ran, as we ran by them or they ran by us.
No,
you had a 40-pound pack on, so
I did have
the people running by you were running by you with a 40-pound pack on.
Yeah. All right, well, anything else? What's your favorite exercise?
I do a lot of CrossFit, which is
that
perfect training for this.
Yeah, you nailed the spear throw. That was good.
I bailed on the, I slid off the rope at the end, so burpee time.
Yeah, I had, in full disclosure, I took the weight vest off for the rope. I couldn't do it.
Slid up. Usually it's all legs, you know, and I slid, couldn't get traction on it.
Yep. Well, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
That was awesome.
Yep, it was great.
Yep.
One of my favorite interviews, Joe.
Really?
Great job. Yeah. I tell you, really surprising guy. I mean, I know we talked about whether he was going to live or die on this thing. He was kind of sick and coughing and the rest of it, but interesting guy, interesting path to be the CEO of Twitter. You wouldn't have thought that he would have been a stand-up comedian, and you know, from there
he was booed off the stage.
But booed off the stage. I imagine that happens to all comedians.
Yeah.
But in fact, I don't have to imagine too hard. Both of my brothers do stand-up comedy, so. Yeah. So
I think you'd be great at it too.
And I booed both of them. So I thought that was a really great interview.
And because he's running the company he's running, or just because of the path he took to get there?
Well, I think it was interesting the path he took. I think it's a little bit different. We talked off camera about this a little bit. A lot of these guys have had a desire or vision.
CEOs,
the people we've interviewed, or you've interviewed, have had driven to go one path their whole career, and boom, have seen something. He kind of took a different route, and didn't seem like it was his driving passion to be the CEO of a major corporation.
Sure.
I mean, he kind of took some other, a little bit more of a winding path. So I think that gives him character, gives him some interest, for me to listen to it. It just makes it an interesting interview.
I've been in the offices now a couple of times, and I got to tell you, he's down to earth. He's easygoing. He's not your typical CEO.
Yeah.
So, and I think it comes from having that background.
Well, he seemed like he had a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
I mean, the two of you guys, I thought, played off each other very well. It just, I don't know. I think maybe it was because it was at the race course. You know, I think it's a little bit different dynamic there as well. So, I don't know, as a listener, I enjoyed the interview.
Yeah, I love this guy. I mean, you think about the image of a CEO, especially of one of the most iconic companies of our modern times, and the guy just couldn't have been more friendly and fun and smart and funny, and obviously didn't take himself too seriously. You know, I would think most guys would turn to their publicist and say, "Can we do this again? I'm coughing, I'm hacking here." He's like, I'm good, we'll just keep going. And but also, I loved what he talked about. So two things. When you said about not taking the direct route, we've had a lot of people say, "I knew what I wanted, laser focus," and that's awesome if you know. What he said is, "I didn't know what I wanted. So I went and I did something totally different, and I failed, and from that, I was able to glean things that were really important later on." But the other thing that he said that was amazing is he said, and he used the example of the race, "I got up this morning, it was the last thing I wanted to do. So what I do, I said, I'm just going to get in the car." And then I got in the car, then I'll just drive there and I'll just at least say hi. And he said, just one more step. And, you know, having been in races out here on your mountain where you think I can't take another step, but you can. Yeah. And so a lot of success. And he kept talking about resilience.
Gets you through 95% of the top 7.
And it isn't always passion. It isn't always being motivated. It's just putting one foot in front of the other. And obviously, if it can get you to be the CEO of Twitter and get you to the end of a Spartan race that you didn't know if you'd survive, I mean, it's pretty good stuff.
Admiral McRaven, right? He said, you want to change the world. Start by making your bed in the morning. And I think it was
Churchill.
Well, I think it was Chris Lee regarding art. He said, I don't want to train 5 hours on my bike. And so I said, I'm going to go out for a half hour.
Yep.
That turns into an hour. Hour turns into two. Mm-hmm. Right.
Man, you were going to say Churchill.
Well, yeah, you guys quoted Churchill. It says, it's not smart or strength. It's just your persistence. Again and again and again, it comes up that it says, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're walking the Nile, if whatever you're doing, just keep going, keep walking, keep doing it. And you're getting somewhere.
No, my wife kept saying no before she was my wife, and I was so persistent she had no choice.
Honey's the best.
I loved it. It was in this interview, and you said, my wife and I fight a lot, and then you pause and you're going to say what it's about, and he goes, that's a weird way to come back from the break. My wife and I fight a lot. Well done.
The best.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
So,
good stuff.
Yeah, another fantastic interview. Love that guy.
And I guess CEO of Google's next. Tune
awesome.
In. Spartan Up Podcast. You'll never know who you're going to meet.
Thank you for listening to another epic story of success. Get more at SpartanUpPodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at SpartanUpPod.
The Spartan Up Podcast is brought to you by Spartan Race.
To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.